This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it's Tech Talk and it's that time again. Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia here with me today. And I realize, what, this is your second anniversary?
Yeah, last week, the 14th, of the site being launched, yes.
Of the site being launched. So you've been speaking with us for about 2 years.
Yeah.
More than 2 years.
Well, it's about 2 years.
I think before it was launched.
Yeah, you guys were good enough to give us a slot 2 weeks before we launched, yes.
Exactly. So congratulations to me for putting up with you for 2 years. I can't believe.
Congratulate yourself on air, my God. That's definitely against the MCMC rules, man.
So.
It's another citation coming to you. Don't blame me.
2 years on, Karamjit.
Wow.
What have you learned?
Oh, my goodness. What have I learned? Interesting.
Regret, huh?
No. That's great. That comes spontaneously. Absolutely no regrets because you just learn so many different things and feel so many emotions. Yep. In the same day, you know, like just yesterday, I was in the car. And we're working on a telco deep dive project, and then got news that somebody was coming in to advertise, and it's a big name. And then I just let out a scream, you know, say, "Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah!"
Congratulations.
But then that same night, I went to bed, you know, on a down because I'm waiting desperately for some of these people. We've sent questions out to some of the industry players, and they haven't reverted with the answers. And as your deadline gets closer. And in my mind, as I was going to sleep, and this is past midnight, I'm still waiting for replies, and only one of the three has come in. And then you're going, man, I would trade the money we're going to get from them, you know, for the content,
it's
you know.
Serious.
Because, yeah, so you can feel, you can experience those extremes in the same day. And it's only when you're totally invested in something, right? Hook and nail or whatever, right? With heart and soul that you feel this kind of emotion. So it's quite incredible.
So 2 years on, do you think, you know, this is that point already, pump, you've crossed that border?
Wow. That's another good question. Yeah. You know, it's a bit freaky. Not freaky, but unnerving because I write articles about stuff. And then one of the recent articles we wrote was about when a startup, and we're not a startup, right? Startups are, because we cover the tech space, it's really those tech companies trying to do something with technology, around technology. We just cover the ecosystem, which is of course an important thing too, but I wrote something that if a startup is at the 2 year stage, then you've already been around for 2 years, that third year is a critical stage where you need to show that rapid growth that startups are supposed to show. Otherwise, you're just going to meander in mediocrity. Wow, that's cool. Meander in mediocrity, man. I mean, I've been a poet in my previous life, man. A very bad one, but a poet.
All eyes on you, man. I'm expecting some growth.
No, we're going to take risks because when I hear that, I say, oh, man. And one of the things we wanted to do and why we brought Gabby in. Sorry, we're detouring a bit.
Detouring.
This is a detour, sidetrack.
Don't meander.
Yeah, no, we're not meandering. Okay, just quick one. When we brought Gabby in was that we said, Gabby, we're going to, you know, get your butt into Singapore. So you're going to be our asset there, right? Mm. And it's, she's already, we're already 2 years old and she's just a year plus coming into DNA. Mm. And it has really weighed on me that we haven't been able to live up to that. So it, of course, benefits her, but it benefits DNA too when we've
exactly.
got a great editor on the ground there. So that has really been weighing on me. But I think, to answer your question quickly, we're going to take some risks and get her there because otherwise it's just going to be boring if we're just in reporting out of one country, for sure.
Right.
And I definitely don't want to do boring. I didn't leave a comfortable job to do boring.
So well done for surviving 2 years. And I'm saying that for the both of us. Let's move on and talk about a mother goose that's hoping to lay some golden eggs. Okay, what's this and who is this? Adam Hirsch.
Yeah, I just met this crazy Canadian entrepreneur, who's trying to make his mascot geese or goose.
Oh.
Goose, singular,
yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah,
goose.
Those guys from Mother Goose, yeah.
Yeah, take over the city. So everywhere, he told me the other day that Karam, the goose is taking over the city. I said, okay, I hope you're wrong, man. Because I'm an ite man myself. Duck man. But anyway, so he came to Malaysia and he's running this venture development fund. And where they incubate and they help accelerate companies. So the recent halal tech challenge that happened in conjunction with the launch of Magic was an initiative of theirs because they've got one company called Hijab to Go,
mm-hmm, yep.
and which is targeting the halal market. And so they're actually not halal, the Muslim market. So that was the catalyst for them to run this program halal high tech challenge, right? Mm. And out of that, five companies came out of it, you know, within that short period of 1 month. And now he says those companies are actually based in the Nest, which is this, what, 8-room bungalow they've got in Damansara Heights somewhere.
Really?
And they all work and mostly work and mostly live. Mostly live and many of them work from there too. So Adam is saying that, you know, they're really passionate and a bit crazy about creating companies, you know, not just talking about it. And he said that's one of the things they have avoided, where they see a lot of entrepreneurs or organizations who they talk about entrepreneurship, they don't do. Mm-hmm. And you know, Mother Goose is all about just doing. Right. So, and Adam himself is an entrepreneur before in Montreal.
Montreal.
Okay, maybe he does speak some French, I don't know. So he sold a small company he's working on, which is, it's a Groupon-ish kind of business model.
Mm-hmm.
It's an app. And then he had a friend who was in Malaysia doing his master's, and the guy worked in Rocket Internet.
Right.
And Adam, you know, applied and was supposed to have an interview with Rocket Internet, and supposed to be a Skype interview, but what do you know, Adam actually shows up, you know, in the flesh for his interview, and the Rocket guys just loved the verve and the vivacity he showed. And of course, they hired him and he became an entrepreneur in residence. He worked there for a while.
Happening words today, man.
Happening words,
verve and vivacity.
My English teacher would be just so boggled. not amazed, just boggled. Right? Okay, that's not the Karamjit, okay. I know. But so he's working out of this office now, and you know, he calls it he calls it an endeavor of pure passion. He says, I know exactly what I want to do and how to do it, and I'm doing it with, you know, Mother Goose. And he says a lot of entrepreneurs just don't have that.
Right. They've also determined not to make the huge error that Rocket Internet is making.
His words.
So what's this about?
It's really about, he said, the Rocket Internet, one of the things they do better than anyone else in the world, he says, is that they have, they build companies. They do that really, really well. And he says that, but on the flip side, and he said you join them, you have a great experience if you want to. But on the flip side, he says that they just don't care about the ecosystem. Really, you know, they don't give a hoot about culture, about management style, or the startup community. Whereas, and he thinks that's a huge error. So Mother Goose, you know, definitely care about all these things, and they want to integrate their entrepreneurs and the companies they're building, you know, as part of the ecosystem in Malaysia. And he's doing that. Quite interesting. There's a part two coming out where he's got a couple of companies and what they're doing. And one is, you know, Hijab to Go.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you know all about that.
Yep.
And if come
it
on.
It was very, very interesting when they came on. I was like, okay, you know, Hijab to Go. And then these were.
Was two, the goose two, sitting two, here
two,
looking
two,
at you?
Two white men. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Hijab to Go. Wasn't the image I was expecting.
I know. It's kind of funny. So Mikkel is one of the guys who came from Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
Mikkel Jostrup. So Jostrup. So I think I brought him up a few weeks ago where he said he was an entrepreneur in Denmark, mm-hmm, and then it was going well, then the company didn't do well and he lost all his confidence, and you know, he had lost confidence and failed himself, and coming to Malaysia, then he refound himself because of the environment he had in Mother Goose. So Adam injected, you know, second life back into him. So power to you, Adam, if you're listening.
All right. Okay. Cradle partners with Golden Gate Ventures. So duo to fund up, what, 5 companies a year with annual total allocation of 2.5 million ringgit. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money in ringgit, and it's for 5 companies, so a maximum of 500,000 each company. So good. I mean, this, again, for all of you guys out there, all, 10% of you who are taxpayers, right, or is it less, you know, mm-hmm, this should be of interest to you, because this is where, you know, a government agency is using your money smartly to amplify it. So now this company called Golden Gates is of course based in, two of the founders actually came from the Silicon Valley, and they launched their fund and their accelerator in Singapore. They're doing quite well. I think they've invested in about 30 companies already, and some of them have got really good traction.
Right.
Now, and one of the founders also is actually a Malaysian, Jeffrey Payne. Now, what's happened is that Cradle wants to make sure that the entrepreneurs they invest in think regional, think global. So why not partner with a company whose mantra, you know, create a Golden Gate Ventures is all about that, being regional or being global. Nothing wrong with being regional. It's a 600 million market, correct?
Right.
So they want to partner with them for that reason. And according to Nazrin, Nazrin Hassan, the CEO of Cradle, they want to give the Malaysian startup that extra edge as they prepare and compete on a global level. So he says they're elated to partner with, you know, Golden Gate, and it's going to take relationship to the next level, blah, blah, blah. And of course, Jeffrey Payne says that they hope that with this a larger pool of discerning foreign investors, our Malaysian entrepreneurs will be more global in their approach. That's what Nazrin said. Jeffrey, who's one of the founders, a founding partner, said that it's going to help Malaysian entrepreneurs become to compete better on a global stage. And he says that they find the diversity of Malaysian technology startups very interesting. But he says, in order to help these entrepreneurs achieve their goals, we need a local partner, Cradle, to help us gain a cultural understanding of these companies. And then, you know, to help these companies target Southeast Asia or even the US. So it's all in all, it's a winning situation. Now, Jeffrey Payne and Golden Gate, they've invested in up to 18 companies so far in Southeast Asia and Taiwan. Very interesting. And of course, in its 10 years, Cradle has funded about 600 Malaysian tech companies. Now, Cradle, while they do a one-on-one matching, Cradle will not take equity in these companies still. Very interesting. They're just going to invest in them and support them because Malaysian companies, right? So I'm really, all of us at DNA are really excited about this program. We're going to see where it goes a year down the road.
All right.
So all happening.
A lot of golden eggs and Golden Gate Ventures.
There you go. It's a golden, it's the golden show, man.
It's the golden show, especially with your second
anniversary.
Yeah,
2 years. So isn't that a golden anniversary? Yeah, 2 years. For startups. Okay, I'm not a startup. I'm just contradicting myself. Company, we're a company.
We'll have to put up with Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia a little more.
That hurt,
after this, that hurt. In Tech Talk.
I tell you, that hurt.
BFM 89.9.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
It's Tech Talk. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu together with Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia as we celebrate their second anniversary. Yes, they're still here. We cover the tech ecosystem, as he says. Okay, the next story is about Grab Taxi. Go on. I was involved.
Yes, Frida was involved and I was just off the air for that small, slight, annoying interruption to our show. Frida was, I asked Frida how much she got paid because Frida was there involved as a moderator or MC.
No. I was I guess, like, you know, they were talking about women using taxis and all that. Yeah, so I was just there. Yeah.
As a potential customer, as someone who likes
to
product.
Once in a while, because I drive. I mean, I live nearby.
Yeah.
But maybe the odd occasions I need to go to the airport or if I need to go to a city and get caught in rain or whatever, I would use it. And this, of course, Grab Taxi is an extension of My Taxi.
My Taxi,
Supposed to be in the premium place. And of course, there's comparisons with Uber.
Uber, yeah.
For, you know, and I think for me, it's just like, great, more players. The customers win.
Customers, no, but you know, it's, you just say, when you grab a taxi, there are already enough taxis out there. Why do you want to go for a premium service then, Frida, which is what Grab car is aimed at, right?
Right. I think one of the things is that actually, probably during the peak hours, there's actually more demand than supply.
Really? At peak hours, you think all the cabbies will be waiting because they know there's demand?
There is demand, but what I'm saying is it actually is more
demand than supply. Wow.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, you just can't meet it.
Yeah.
So then people who are willing, I'll pay a little bit more and I'll get a taxi because less people will do that. So there's that space, right?
Okay.
So I can imagine during peak time, even with you bidding, it's just like a lot of people also bidding at the same time, you know? So anyway, interesting. But I think, like, to have more choices, why not? But because I've been following the story for a while.
Of course.
And what was just interesting, this whole model is that at least people can travel a lot more safely, right? And especially for women. For the longest time, we'll not even try to grab a taxi, even if I need to, as much as possible.
Okay.
Because...
But isn't that exaggerated? You rarely hear about, you know, people being hurt when taking taxi rides, right?
What do you mean?
Okay.
Oi.
Yes.
All the things that happen in a taxi, where they drive you to strange places, or they put up the, you know, they don't use the meter or what have you.
Yeah,
you
the
know?
Meter thing is annoying.
You know, the fact that you want to get a cab and then they start haggling, right? And that annoys
Of course, what? With taxi fares having gone up, right? And they still, that's disappointing.
Yeah, so it's just like, I just don't need the hassle.
So it's the hassle and it's the safety factor also, especially
And I would,
for
like, just avoid, like, there's some things in the city I would just avoid. If I don't feel like driving, I'll avoid going because...
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, it's too much of pain.
Not worth it, too much of pain, I think that's interesting when you talk about that pain. I guess what, I think Anthony was there, right? The CEO and the founder of My Taxi in Malaysia, around the region, is Grab Taxi. Says that one of their reasons for their regional success is the ability to adapt and evolve to meet users' needs. So they're piloting this, or they're doing it in Malaysia first, and if it works, then you'll take it to some other countries, right?
Mm.
Okay, we'll see how that goes, but... I think, Anthony was mentioning it's very difficult and they find people, getting frustrated, sometimes not being able to grab a cab. So everything you said, so you've covered this story for me, Frida. I'm very proud of myself.
Okay. All right,
I got you to do all the talking, man. All the talking.
This is one of the skills you've learned after 2 years, huh?
Yeah. No, no. And, but, you know, Gabby's story was interesting because some industry pundits also thought that, you know, this is a niche that they can actually succeed in. So I'm maybe a little bit skeptical. I'll see whether this, you know, actually works.
Why
in the
are you
city.
Skeptical?
I think it's a premium service and a lot of people are trying to keep their costs down, you know, when they travel. In life anyway, right? In the city. So... And you already have when you call for a taxi company, when you call for a cab, you can always ask for the premium cab anyway.
Yeah.
So you have that available, but people rarely use that.
Mm.
So it'd be interesting to see if this service takes off. And of course, you're competing head on with Uber. Mm. The good thing is that both of them are now educating the market. There's this segment available, so that is a win-win for both of them.
And it's a choice at the end of the day. So people, it doesn't work, you know, it doesn't matter. But the customer at the end of the day have a choice.
Yeah.
I hate it when there's a monopoly.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, in this case, it's not really a monopoly. Nobody else wanted to offer that service.
Right.
Yeah, a monopoly is because of legislation.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
no, but you know, Uber I think have an advantage just because one of their members in their international expansion team is called Tiger Fang. So you just don't mess with the tiger.
You don't mess with Tiger.
And Tiger has got Fang. No fangs. I should have been called Tiger Fang. So I'm a bit, maybe it's not as powerful as we think, just Tiger Fang.
But what would be interesting though, if you look at my taxi, they would have a database to work on.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Right? And so you can do a lot more marketing with the existing database.
If they do, I don't know whether they do and whether that, you know, jives with the Personal Data Protection Act. We always got to be respectful of that now. But I'm sure they will. Maybe
find
one SMS out to everyone saying, you know, would you like to know about this?
Who knows?
And oops, we made a mistake. We'll fire the techie.
Who knows? I'm sure there'll be some way of getting permission.
Yeah,
you know?
Permission.
Who knows? But it's there.
Yeah.
Right? You got great
permission. So go and read that story. Very good. I don't know how Gabby managed to write a 2-page article on that, but awesome.
She was on a roll.
She was on a roll.
Anyway, and lastly, you want to talk about what? No, it's not lastly. Yeah, you know, there's never a lastly with you. You want to, what's this mindset of scarcity versus
mindset of scarcity. Yeah, I had one of the most amazing conversations I had with an entrepreneur on Thursday. And he was talking about how he has an investor now. An investor is not from Malaysia. So this entrepreneur, you know, the entrepreneur was saying sometimes even if you grow your company to a certain level, you need more money, you know, to take it to the next level, right? You need to leapfrog or do something more ambitious and you need funding for that. Although you could be a profitable company, sometimes you keep the money as dividends or profits for yourself or to pay staff or, you know, let's just keep it for a rainy day. You're not taking that risk to invest.
Right.
So this entrepreneur has been looking for a while and somebody, you know, introduced him to this entrepreneur from Hong Kong. And he ended up meeting with the entrepreneur the first time, right? And the entrepreneur said, you know, you're asking for X amount. I'm going to give you 2 times as much. Let's say he was asking for 10 ringgit. The entrepreneur said, I'm going to give you 30 ringgit,
right?
$30. Because you're going to need that to grow your company. It was just over a handshake, you know. So fine. And now, because of that, now I have...
Where are these people?
Like? Yeah. So I have X amount of money, you know. I have X, equity in your company.
Mm-hmm.
It's a loan over 3 years and then it gets converted to equity in the company. And then the interest rate also was super low, you know, way below the market rate. And then this entrepreneur after the handshake, he opens up his tablet and shows the guy his group of companies. And under there was this entrepreneur's company already, with the X amount. He said, in so many years' time, I'm going to own X amount in your company. And right now, with just that handshake deal, he was 80% of the way to owning the actual stake he wanted.
And you're not going to tell me anybody who this is?
Because I haven't written the story. And actually, I don't know whether... I'm trying to get that entrepreneur to be on Disrupt because I think he'll be powerful.
Okay.
But to cut the whole story short is that the key point this entrepreneur said is that... And then so this guy who I know asked me a couple of questions about DNA, where it's going and all that. Then he said, you know, Karam, you're talking from a mindset of scarcity.
Scarcity.
You know, you've got so little money, you're feeling, you're willing to take so much pain because you're trying to stretch it and you're trying to do this. And, you know, you say you don't want to do this because of that reason. These are all answers that come out from a mindset of scarcity.
Wow.
But what really hit me was then he shared this story. And then he says that this entrepreneur, you know, comes and helped him, you know, adopt the mindset of bounty, you know.
Mm.
Come with the mindset of bounty and say, set a target that you want to achieve this much and then work towards how you're going to achieve that. And so this entrepreneur, you know, says, Frida, that in the last 1 year from me adopting this mindset, I've achieved more in my business than in the past 15 years. And that was just such a powerful statement for me to take back. And I have been reflecting on that too.
Okay. And you know what? Mm. See, since after that, you reflected, the phone call came.
Which phone call?
You told me?
Oh, yes. You're
see,
right, yeah.
Think about it. And you should listen to my 11 o'clock show called Raise Your Game.
Raise
Your
Game.
It talks about my abundant mindset.
Oh, you do, huh? It does, huh? I will. But it was just so amazing, man. So, and I'm going to we're just redoing our business plan. So I told you, we're already planning to take risks, but now I'm approaching it with this mindset. And it's liberating, you know. It's just liberating, right?
I'm
just awesome, man. I really want to bring this guy down, man, and have a disrupt session with him,
okay.
And he'll just blow the mind of entrepreneurs, because his story is just incredible. As great as Tony Fernandez's story is Tan Sri Lim from Top Glove.
Right.
These guys have got incredible stories. This is mind-blowing.
And I guess this abundant mindset is what is possible.
What is possible, yeah.
Rather than think, you know, oh, it's impossible.
Yeah, yeah, we work within our limitation, then
yeah.
And you go gradually, you know. And, you know, this guy also said that he dropped out of college, right? School. Amazing, man.
Speaking of which, you want to talk about Disrupt.
Yeah, Disrupt,
week.
Because we are talking, I want to get him into Disrupt.
And
so next week's Disrupt is version 2 of, you know, what it's called, PR 101. Last year we did with you, Frida,
as
a moderator. You charged us a premium, but worth every penny.
The things I do for free. I tell you,
things you do for free.
For free,
but it'll
okay.
come back to you.
It'll come back
to you manifold.
I believe,
yes.
You know, if I believe in something.
Yes. And so next week.
Doesn't mean the rest of y'all can call me.
Next week is like really, you know, maybe Public Relations 201.
Okay.
It's the next level where we are specifically talking about how entrepreneurs can decide whether they're ready for professional PR help and whether that help should be in the form of a PR company or bringing in-house PR. You've obviously written a book on PR, Frida,
yeah.
So I'm sure you have a lot to say. We didn't want to invite you on the panel because you dominate all the 71 minutes,
please.
You know, of it then. But please, free come. So we've got good interest from people signing up to come for the event. If you haven't yet, you're interested, do come. I think it'll be very eye-opening.
Okay,
this is almost like the tools of the trade for startups, right?
Mm. And you know, whether they need help or not. And I always think, okay, fine. Maybe initially you'll talk to a couple of people.
Yes.
And when you get bigger, hire someone. And if not, work on a project.
Work
on a project and sort of like get into the groove of things as
of,
well.
Of
because
employing
because
someone
of budget
for the expertise,
reasons. I mean, of
yeah.
course, if you get the money, obviously I say go for it. Get
yes.
help, you
yeah.
know, whether internal, external. Mm-hmm. So get help.
Get help, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. So how do you decide when you want that help? So that's the discussion for next week.
Right.
It should be quite interesting.
Mm.
And then we now just wrap up with our reading list, right?
Yes, very quickly, like 30 seconds.
What the reading list was, let me see, I'm trying to think.
It says, I can't read handwriting.
Come, show me. I wrote this down for Frida. Ah, yes. Disrupt. This week's...
reading list.
This week's Disrupt, because we've already published Disrupt. And this week we're featuring the Macro Kiosk Go triplets. Actually,
yeah.
not triplets.
They're
trio.
Not triplets. Three brothers.
The trio. The Grow. The Go trio. Mm. So go and read that story. Very interesting. And I think Frida, one of the things I wanted to share just quickly is that our readers. My biggest frustration with DNA is that our readers don't engage with us as much as they should,
all right.
And they don't push us too.
Okay.
And I think they need to. And we got an interesting email from somebody who had a poor experience with Macro Kiosk, and he emailed me and said, "You've written glowingly about them. Mm. You should know this." I said, "Hey, give me a bit more details, and I'll send this straight to the CEO so that they can
right.
attend to this." You know.
So I mean, rather than just sort of mumble among yourself, just bring up whatever's
yeah.
good, bad,
yes,
whatever.
Yes.
And I think we need to get to that point where we're discussing things.
Discuss things and
right?
we challenge each other without
yeah.
it getting personal.
Personal. And, and it's for the betterment of
yep,
the nation.
Of course. Rising tide, you know, raises all ships. And we
yeah.
absolutely need to do that. So go and read that. And Gujarati itself is doing well. We're getting orders from people, you know, for reprints. Really excited about that. Last week on Tuesday, ACCA, I want to quickly thank them because they ordered over 100 copies of Digirati 50. Why? They said that CFOs are increasingly making decisions around technology.
Right.
It's good for them to know who some of the interesting people are in our space. So I say, wow, fantastic, man.
Thank you, ACCA.
Yeah, it's really fun to see them, see copies of Digirati there and people
Which
picking
means
them up.
Digital News Asia will continue to live.
Inshallah, it will continue to live, man. It will be a powerful force in the regional ecosystem, not just in Malaysia.
and he'll still continue to be here.
Yes.
I'm just saying from Digital News Asia, Tech Talk, BFF 89.9.
Chakaday.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.